This is Central Time. I'm Mike Arnold.
And I'm Veronica Rickert.
This spring's outbreak of avian flu caused some big problems for poultry and egg operations here in Wisconsin and around the Midwest. Over 1.8 million chickens and turkeys were destroyed in Wisconsin because of that virus, and quarantines were set up in affected areas.
The last of the state's quarantines ended last week, but state officials are calling on owners of flocks, large and small, to be on the lookout for continued infection. And the USDA is raising concerns about lapses in biosecurity that could have helped the disease spread.
John Brunquell joins us now for a look at that outbreak and efforts to prevent the next one. He's the CEO of Egg Innovations, which is a free-range egg producer with operations around the Midwest, including 11 farms in Wisconsin. John, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, and thank you for having me.
Now, John, it sounds like the worst of the avian flu outbreak is behind us now. What's the latest news from inside the industry?
We believe that the worst is behind us, but we are still seeing infections this week. Another 1.1 million birds was announced in Iowa. We're still seeing some legacy infections in the turkey industry, but relative to May and early June, we do not have nearly the magnitude of announcements that we were having a couple weeks ago.
Now the numbers, I mean, even the ones you just made, but they sound really huge. I mean, 1.8 million birds destroyed in Wisconsin alone. Have we ever seen anything like this before?
The last time we had avian influenza in the United States was in the mid-'80s in Pennsylvania. What is unique about this strain and this time around is it appears that it was started by wildfowl. However, as the epidemiology reports, which is kind of the trace back of what went on, what we found is once we had the first infection, among other things, we as an industry did, unfortunately, a very good job of spreading it around ourselves to industry partners as we traded the product.
How did you do that, though?
What happens is, you know, the disease is very stable, especially in summer, spring and fall when it's cool weather. And it's things like two different companies. One would have an infected farm and one would have a clean farm, but they shared workers. And
oh, okay.
So on the bottoms of their shoes and on their clothes, trucks were driving onto properties that might have had the disease on their tires. And so we were not on the top of our game biosecurity-wise early in the infection stage.
Now, you know, you said that some of this was spread by, did you say wildfowl? Is that what you said?
Yeah, the one of the common vectors is wildfowl
like
that are, yeah, exactly, waterborne fowl or not, you know, waterfowl such as geese and ducks. They can carry a natural immunity to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we look at the flyways across the United States, there's three or four, and when birds migrate in great numbers in spring and fall, this infection, if you watch it, was dominantly along the Mississippi Flyway.
Oh, okay. Now, how bad was this in Wisconsin as compared to other states in the region? I know Minnesota dealt with it quite a bit too, right?
Speaking for the egg industry, we had two significant situations, both in Jefferson County. We had a couple hundred thousand birds that was a confined cage-free operation, and then we had a larger caged operation. But that was the limit of Wisconsin commercial infections.
Okay. So it wasn't quite as bad as some other areas then? Is that what you're saying?
Correct. The area that got, from the egg industry perspective, the area that got devastated the most was Iowa.
Okay. Now you kind of alluded to this a little bit, but what kind of measures do you have in place to try to stop the spread? Is it basically people taking their shoes off and putting different shoes on when they go from place to place, or are there other things?
Yeah, there's a wide variety of things. Obviously, the first things we do is we simply limit traffic. And speaking for our company, one of the things that we were surprised by was the amount of traffic we had on our farms that we were not fully aware of, such as salesmen. And they might be visiting an individual farm, and then they, you know, get in their car and drive down the street to the next farm.
And
so that was one of the things we had to get better at. But in our company, we do things such as when we trade eggs among partners, we only use one-way materials that don't come back to us. We certainly, anytime we enter facilities, we put on single-use disposable garments. All of our cars and trucks go through washes and sanitations in between every visit. So
is this how it's always been in the egg business? Have you always had to like wear decontamination suits like this and stuff, or is that something new?
We operated at a, as an industry, we were always, you know, if you would have talked to any of us in the industry, we were always proud of what we did for biosecurity. But this round of avian influenza really forced us to raise our game and pointed out to weaknesses in our system. So, you know, for instance, in our company, even after this disease subsides, which it will, we will, when we lower our biosecurity protocols, they will never return back to where they were in January and February this year. They will remain at an elevated level just because we're smarter now.
Right. So this could very likely affect people in their pocketbooks. I mean, what do you think this is going to do for egg prices?
Well, we've seen, you know, I think anyone who's been in the grocery store the last 21 days has seen it. What we've seen is a very rapid rise in the price of eggs for the summer, and we do believe that has peaked, and in some cases is now softening. The unknown factor is when we go into the fourth quarter, which is a typical heavy demand period because of Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Right.
But for the summer, I think we've seen the highs, and in my opinion, we would expect a little bit of retracement. They won't go back down to where they were in spring, but I think they'll come off the levels they are right now.
Mm-hmm. Now your company focuses in free-range eggs. Is that true?
Correct. We produce ethical eggs, which means all of our eggs are either free-range or pasture. And so that's been a challenge for us because we're very passionate about our birds going outside in good weather. However, because, you know, Wisconsin has a state of emergency, which hasn't been officially lifted, we have to keep them confined until that state of emergency is lifted.
Now, is it true, though, that free-range chickens are a little bit less susceptible to this, or is that some nonsense I read somewhere?
I'm not going to speak specifically to avian influenza, but we certainly believe and have premised our company on, when, just like children, when you get birds outside and you let them engage in natural behavior and you give them access to nature, they do build up a stronger immunity than when you leave a bird confined in a cage. The analogy I always give people that they can understand, it's why the people in Mexico can drink the water and we can't, is because they've built up a tolerance.
Right. Now, you kind of mentioned that in your case and probably in the case of a lot of other companies, they're going to be doing business a little differently and be a little more careful. What other changes do you think could happen in response to this outbreak? Do you think there could be more free-range eggs out there?
You know, certainly we believe that would be a step in the right direction. The other thing that is going to be a long-term debate in the industry is we as an industry built some mammoth egg operations where you might have as many as 5 million birds on a farm. And I think this is going to have a fairly open discussion on how concentrated should you allow agricultural operations to get. Because in the case of our company, we have them very diversified. Our typical family farmer has 20,000 birds, and I have 60 of them. So if I would have gotten AI, which I didn't, fortunately, mm-hmm. It would have been one individual farm out of 60 and 1.5% of my production. In the case of Iowa, you know, we had farms that had 5 million birds on one farm.
Wow. All right. Well, John, thanks for joining us today. That was John Brunquell. He's CEO of Egg Innovations, looking at last year's avian flu outbreak.
I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Mike Arnold. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.